Our next speaker is Ryan Stewart, Chair of the Department of Surgery at UT San Antonio, and your previous head of the COT, giving a talk that I think is relevant to most of this group since it has to do with aging.
I was over there trying to add alligators to my slides. Thank you, Dr. Walker. Thanks for the opportunity to speak today. I'm going to talk about issues with respect to aging. I don't have any real conflict, I think, although I am an aging surgeon, which I guess is a potential conflict of interest. I'm probably also one of a handful, maybe, of people in the audience who've had a cognitive evaluation. I had a stroke recovered from that, but I am familiar with all the things I'm going to talk about. But you know, the question really is this idea of lifelong learning or means of certification is how have things changed since the time you graduated from residency? You know, that's really the question. Since I graduated from my residency, a lot has changed. A lot has changed. That little girl that I was caricatured and satirically caricatured. She's now 27. A lot has changed. And Dr. Bass is correct that 40 years in practice is a long time. And how do we build the infrastructure to support lifelong surgeon training and education? It's a challenge, honestly. A number of the speakers have alluded to this, but the world we live in, medical knowledge advances at a rapid rate. And what's potentially right today will be wrong in 5 years, and almost guaranteed it'll be wrong in 20 years. The questions stay the same. The answers change. So technology increases exponentially as time passes. So the question is, how do we perform as time passes? How do I perform as time passes? Well, I'm sorry. Our cognitive processing power decreases as we age. That's just a fact. And I'm going to show you that fact. It's balanced that experience and judgment improve and increase over time. So our experiences, the things you see, that increases over time. But cognitive power and memory do not. These are IQ scores by age. And I'm trying to look where I am. I'm like, okay, that's awesome. You think the baseline IQ score is 100. Well, that's based on people who are 25. And most of you may intuitively know this, both old and, I think the older you are, the more intuitive you know this. You know, cognitive scores, microcognitive scores, these things primary care people do, these are MDs and non-MDs. The MDs are in the square box. So the good news is, we do a little better than the average patient, than the average layperson. Whenever I had my cognitive test, I'll say that my assessor said, "You're slow." I said, "Well, I am slow at baseline. I'm from West Texas." But the good news is, physicians are a little different cohort. But this shows that our attention scores by physicians by quartiles and means decrease as well. Visuospatial scores decrease over time. Obviously very relevant to a lot of the things that some of you do. So I was thinking, maybe let's look at something that's more complicated than just taking a test. Okay, no help here. Grandmaster chess ratings by age group, you can see. The good news is it doesn't peak at 25. It peaks at about 35, 40. And it's a downhill slide from that. Looking where I am on that, I'm going, I don't know. So, we finish our training at 30 to 35 years of age, yet there's a steady downward decline in cognitive performance past the ages of 20s, 30s. Well, you know, it doesn't exactly intuitively fit with my experience. I'll just say those things don't. So it causes me to think. And, you know, I think that surgery is, even though the skill set's different, is, and I've taught medical students this for a long time, you know, or surgery residents, if they say, you know, I don't know whether I can do this. Well, I say, can you drive a car safely? If you can drive a car safely, I think you can likely do surgery safely if you have, you know, basic motor skills. Although, to be fair, my cognitive processing power may not be adequate to make this assessment, but that's where we are. So I do think that surgery is more like driving a car than an IQ test. And I've thought of the different fields that you all practice, and I actually think there are these different specialties in surgery you could equate to different types of driving. So what do crash data reveal about performance by age? What do this is going to make the older people in the audience feel really good. I felt good. I look at this, you go, okay, so you've got all fatal crashes. And you can see that the we're worse at age 20. Age 20, and it declines over time. So the darker bars are all crashes, and then fatal crashes on the lower axis. And so experience and judgment do matter. And if you think about it, just think for a minute about the group with the best cognitive processing power and the best motor skills have the highest crash and death rate. Well, you know, it's true, sort of. So what you would guess, and it is true, is that as we age, we drive less. And so you have to adjust it for hours or time spent doing the activity. So it's a U-shaped distribution here that and the U-shaped distribution, you know, fits more closely with what my intuition would tell me about how we perform over time. And a little slightly worrisome thing from this, I think it actually still shows if you look. I mean, if you look at age 65 or 70, the crash rates are not the same as young people, so still better, even adjusted for that. But, you know, you can see if you look at fatal crashes, and part of this is physiologic reserve of those patients, but fatal crashes, you know, in the older cohort tend to come up to overall crashes. So wrapping up on this age summary, we have a steady decline in cognitive performance past the age of 20s, 30s, but there's a steady decline in crashes per capita, but when adjusted for time spent during the activity, there's a U-shaped distribution. So I interpret this analogy is that you know, safely performing a complex psychomotor task that requires hundreds of subtle judgments, visuospatial reasoning, gross motor skills, correlates better with experience than motor skill and processing power. But at approximately 65 years of age, safety per unit time spent doing it shows some progressive decrement. We can compensate for this. We can compensate for it. But compensation really requires effort, study, discussion, and it requires challenge. It requires the challenge of doing something. And it also requires independent assessment and feedback. So, you know, we're really not that great at independent assessment. So that's one of the things for a few of you may have had a stroke, but, you know, it's an unusual circumstance you find yourself in because you're used to sort of trying to regulate your activity, and you realize the organ that you're trying to regulate is the organ that you have to try to – it doesn't really work very well. You need an independent assessment. So we need colleagues. We need data, study, and structure. That's the whole idea of board certification and maintenance certification. You know, William Osler, I apologize to the women in the audience for his gender use, but just read this quote from William Osler. He basically is stating a similar thing, that, you know, after we've been in practice a while, you know, we basically get, you know, potentially irritable. And he's really describing, by the way, at, you know, 1897, he's describing us. And so he basically said, you know, we need a challenge. We need people to discuss and we need to get a challenge. He viewed the medical society as that approach. But so I think lifelong CME is needed because information technology changed very rapidly. We do have some cognitive decline past the age of 20-something. And I didn't look at data going back before 20, but it may actually happen from birth on. I mean, to be fair, if you look at CT scans of children, you would go, yeah, their brains really fill that space. And we're not that great at independent self-assessment. That's why I need you. That's why I need you in this audience, and I need this meeting, and I need lifelong CME. So thank you very much.